Song most of you probably already know. It's one of my favorite older songs. It's "Tis So Sweet." And I kind of love the progression of the verses. The first verse starts with, "Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus and to take him at his word." And then the second verse says, "I'm so glad I've learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend." Have you ever had a situation where you know to trust him? You've read his word. You know it says to be anxious for nothing, to trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. You read those words, but have you ever had a situation where there was a defined turning point where you have actually learned to, where you actually gave it to him and you trusted him with that situation? And that is when it is so freeing, because you can read the words, you can say, "I trust Jesus," but when you really do give him that situation with your kids or with your marriage or with your finances or with whatever it is, when you actually learn to trust him in that situation, there is such a load. His is light and ours is heavy. And when you actually take that load off of you, there is such a freedom in that. Would you sing this song with us?
Jesus, how I trust in you. loves him more.
And I'm so glad
I learned to trust him. Precious Jesus, he's your friend. And I know that thou art with me. Will be Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that thou art with me, will be with me through the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust in, how I move in more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him.
I trust you, Jesus.
I like what I feel in the atmosphere in this place here right now.
Thank you, Jesus.
I was out last night. I ran to the store before Walgreens closed, and I didn't really like what I felt in the atmosphere. I can't explain it, but there's something that seemed like it was kind of off. But in here, there's an atmosphere. There's something different in here, unlike outside of here. It's in the world. His presence is here. And I got thinking, there's rarely times then I feel like what I feel repeats itself. It's, this morning is one of those times where something has repeated itself. And it was more at the end of a service, I remember years ago, that I was over here and the service was coming to an end. There was an altar service. And I feel what I feel right now. And I heard the Lord speak. And I learned to be calm when I heard his voice speak. If I feel that right now in the beginning of this service, in the beginning of the Sunday school sessions, it's incredible what is able to happen here throughout the remainder of this whole morning. You could be anywhere else today, but you chose to be here this morning. I believe God's going to bless you. Before we go anywhere else further this morning, can we just pray? Pray for a spirit of unity. Just pray for God's presence. Pray for God to lead us in this place. Lord, Lord, I love what I feel in your house this morning. Lord, Lord, I know that you are here, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord, more than the air that we are to breathe in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, you are our very breath. You are our life. Lord, you are what sustains us. You are what holds our life together in Jesus' name. Lord, your presence is so prevalent in this place, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing already at the beginning of this place, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the spirit of prayer, Lord, that was here before the service started in Jesus' name, Lord. I pray for the spirit of expectation. I pray, Lord, that hearts and minds and spirits would be open to you, Lord, but to your will and to your way for this place today in Jesus' name, Lord. For greater is here. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is already here today. It's not coming, it is here right now, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the greater presence that is here today. Thank you, Lord, for the greater outpouring, Lord, that you have prophesied, that has been prophesied over this church, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. The greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We need to have confidence that the greater is he that is in us. We can get bombarded by things. We can get overwhelmed by things. The dust of this life can get and accumulate it on us, and we need to brush it off. And that's where we brush it off in here. This is a great place for things to change in our hearts and our minds today. We're going to start a new session this morning, and we're going to talk about Samuel this morning. And Samuel was a judge, but he was also a prophet. And what an incredible story of his life, how his mother dedicated him to the Lord at a young age. And let's get into the text. And it's in 1 Samuel 7, 3 through 15. I'll try to read this as quickly as we can, and we can be seated. It said, "And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, and then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hands of the Philistines. And then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and serve the Lord only. And Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, We have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel, and when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, Cease not to cry out unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a sucking lamb, a very young lamb, and offered it unto for a burnt offering wholly unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to the battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And the cities of the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron even unto Gath. And the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life." You can be seated. It was the voice of God that said, turn away from your idols, and they did. And the voice of God said, turn and serve only God. And they gathered together, and they did. The children of God cried out to God and asked Samuel to intercede, and he did. And God responded and defended his people, and peace was restored. And I got thinking this in verse 10. It says, and Samuel was offering up a burnt offering. He was offering up a burnt offering while he was under attack. While his people were under attack at the same time, he was giving an offering. And there are times when you come into the house of the Lord, or there are times when you go in your house and you're all alone, and you feel the breath and the snarls from the enemy in your ear, but it does not stop you from giving God an offering of praise and worship. And God hears that, and God disconfigures the enemy, and he confuses the enemy. And the enemy is attacked, and God, he attacks and destroys the enemy on our behalf because he sees an offering. We could run into defeat. Samuel could have run and says, this isn't a good place for me. I could hear the enemy. I could hear the footsteps of the enemy. I could hear them shouting. I could hear them taunting me. I'm going to get up and take this offering and go somewhere else. But he said, no, I'm going to stay right here. I'm going to stand my ground, and I'm going to give this offering right where he wants me to give the offering, and I'm not going to move. If anybody's going to move, the enemy's going to move. I'm not going to move from where I'm at. And you are here today because you are stable. You have found stability in the Lord. You've found stability in the house of the Lord. You found stability in the word of the Lord. And that's why you're here today. Because everything else in the, outside of this world, outside of these four walls, outside of the body of Christ is unstable. But you found stability here. This world is shifting on sand, but you found a solid rock. And you put your feet firmly upon it. The winds of this world have come and blown and torn houses down, but your house is still standing here today. Thank God for a firm foundation that we could put our house upon in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Cars have these stabilizers, and we're talking about stability for a few minutes this morning. And these stabilizers keep the cars from rolling. And I remember going with Sister Pat. This is years ago, and Luke and Amy had an addition on their house. And I went down there with her, and I took my dad's car, and it was a nice Cadillac. And he just said one thing, the stabilizer bar in this car, I believe it needs to be replaced. And I didn't give it much thought until I got on 55. And, you know, that turn that you make is it 39 stops, and then you make that turnover by Gibson City, and you're going at a decent amount of speed, and just the slightest little twitch, my heart pounded out of my chest. But I didn't let Pat know how uncomfortable that it made me feel. But, man, every muscle in my body tensed up because that stabilizer bar wasn't working right. It needed to be replaced. And I got thinking about how parents, young parents, their stabilizer is their mom and dad, is that little baby boy or girl's grandma and grandpa. That's the place that they go to when they need to go to the store or they need to go back home and go get a good nap because that child kept them up half the night and they got to go to work. I remember when Allie was little, my first day back, I remember doing a 130 feeding, and I remember I was just short-tempered and irritated, and somebody said something the wrong way, and I've been hanging drywall for years, and I picked up a piece of a 12-footer, a 5/8, and I just go running down this hallway. I'm like, I'm so mad. I felt like I could throw the thing across the building because I was irritated from my lack of sleep. So thank God. Don't underestimate every grandparent. Don't underestimate your value for every young parent because you are priceless to them. I thank God also for those friends. Do you have that one friend that you can go to when you just need to vent at times? You need to go talk to that person and just kind of blow off some steam, and that person's a good listener. That person is your stabilizer, because if you don't let off some steam, somebody's going to get hurt, right? And it's not going to be you, but it's going to be somebody else. So you're able to talk to that person, they're able to release some stress in their life, and everything's going to be okay because you just diverted a disaster by being that stabilizer for that person, by being that good listener. So churches have pastors and teachers, and Christians have our Lord Jesus Christ. To enact radical change with no stabilizer is foolish, and it could cause failure and disaster in our life. It's been hundreds of years since the tribes of Israel have crossed over the Jordan River into the Promised Land. Joshua's death and the death of the generation of the Israelites at that time, the people of Israel fell into a cycle of one forsaking God and turning to idolatry. And then they also began to be delivered into the hands of the enemy. And then they began to cry out to God. And this is a cycle that they would go into. And God placed a judge in their life. God placed Samuel in their life. He placed other people in their life to be the mediator, to be the mouthpiece, to judge God's people. It was very important. And God chose these mouthpieces. Samuel didn't chose to be who he was, but God specifically chose him. And when you are a voice in somebody's life, it's no accident that God chose that particular person to be a voice in your life, because he found it necessary, and it's no coincidence. So you need to take heed and know the voice of God and know where it comes from and that source that it comes from. And we need discernment, too, because there's a lot of voices out there. There's a lot of things that we see on television. TBN's one of them, and there's a lot of things out there on that show. And I remember seeing Brother Mangum and what's his name that did the fasting book? I can't remember. What was it? Jensen Franklin. I remember watching that. I was like, man, this is a great segment he did on prayer and fasting. And he had, Sister Megan came up there and they prayed together. But we have to discern. Just because they have a good segment doesn't mean that everything that they have on there is good. And it may sound good and appealing. It may be godly, but I want to make sure whatever voice that is out there that I'm receiving, that I have discernment to know that this is from God, that this is pure, this is exactly what I need to hear. And there's some that are here today that are not here today that are somewhere else because they didn't have a made up mind and they decided to choose, I'm going to listen to whatever anybody tells me. And if it sounds good, that's great. It's positive. It's encouraging. You know what? If it's not convicting and life-changing, it may not be right for me. I need that positivity, and I need that encouragement, but I need that conviction, and I need that life-changing also in my life. And that's where you're going to hear that from the voice of the Lord in Jesus' name. Stability was subject to the influence and the longevity of individual judges. A strong transitional leader was needed, and God chose Samuel as his voice during this transition to a nation. And in 1 Samuel 3:19-20, it says, "And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him. And he did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all of Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. When the people of Israel cried for a king to be a rule over them, Samuel orchestrated the transition for that to happen. And Samuel was the greatest of the judges, and Jesus said John the Baptist was the greatest of the prophets. Both were chosen as God's stabilizers in unusual times in transition. We faced transition even in this church years ago when Brother Davis was here for many years preaching and pastored, and there was a time of transition. But God was here, and there was a stableness here. And Sister Day, we felt times when we felt the enemy was attacking us, but there was the ones here that stayed their ground, and we were blessed for it, and others are blessed for it. Since then, we've seen growth in this church. We've seen people that weren't here before, and some God planted and transplanted into this church, and I'm thankful for that. So, the purpose for God's people has never changed. It's to be a beacon of light and hope for this world. It was the purpose for God's people, Israel, to be a beacon of light and hope for the world also. But this has never changed. I'm so thankful that there is a place where we can gather together, and I believe this without a doubt. Your home, the house where your street is on, is a beacon of light and hope for your community because you reside in that home. I'll never forget it. I had somebody come into my house and speak into my life that I'd never met before. And I knew he was a man of God because I about trembled when he spoke to me. And he said, there's something about your house. There's like this dome. There's this light over your house where your house is a light for your neighborhood. And everyone that you go, every house that is in, that you're in Sugar Grove or in Sandwich or anywhere else out Leland, you are a light for your neighborhood. Whether you know it or not, whether those people wave or not, they notice when you go to church, whether they're outside, they're looking out the window with a cup of coffee in their hand, they know that you have a stabilizing force in your life and you go to the house of the Lord. And they know that the house that God stabilizes you. And they're looking for you for that stability. They need that stability. They need to see that beacon of hope and light when they look out their window, when they're out there mowing their lawn, when they're out there getting their newspaper. That's encouraging to them. You're encouraging people whether you know it or not. So I want you to be encouraged today. We live in a discouraging world. We live in a heartless world. We live in an unaffectionate world. But you are that hope and that light for those people in that world. God promised the land of Canaan to Abraham when he left Atlanta Ur. Everywhere his foot stepped was to be his. The fulfillment of God's promise doesn't usually come without difficulty, some from without and some from within. That conflict we should be looking at as a confirmation of the promise that God has given us. And I'll never forget it. I remember hearing that scripture. And when God told Abraham, look to the north, to the south, to the east and west, and everywhere you put your foot, you will possess it. And I remember going through the recession and being in construction. I'm like, man, I'm having a hard time paying my mortgage and I'm having a hard time paying my bills. And I went home after church, and I started walking the perimeter of the property of my house. And I remember as I started walking the perimeter of my house, I looked two houses down. Somebody was on the back of his deck, and I felt this spirit of total resistance of what I was doing. And there was confrontation. There was opposition of what I was doing. I was marking my territory like Abraham was marking his territory. I was walking by faith. God says, if you walk, I'll give it to you. And I was receiving that by faith. God promised to Abraham, he is no respecter of persons. Lord, I want promises from you too. I want to step out on faith, and I want to do something by faith and receive something from you. I don't know where, I don't know how I'm going to pay my mortgage in the next month because I don't have enough money in the account to pay the mortgage. But by faith, Lord, I'm going to step, and every foot that I put my, lay the, you know what I'm saying. It's okay to be tongue-tied, right? I'll put one foot in front of the other, and I'm going to walk to the south, then I'm going to walk to the west, then I'm going to go east, and I'm going to go north. I'm going to face opposition. I got thinking about this. You've heard the promises of God, and you received and responded to it. And that conflict has got to be confirmation of what God has spoken to you, what God has put in your spirit. He has put it in your spirit years ago, and it hasn't come to pass. But it's starting to, you're starting to get a glimpse of things. Do you ever get little glimmers of things, of a word that was spoken in your life? I think of it as those little pixels. There's all these pixels. There's this high-def stuff that you can get, ultra 4K. But before that, we had these little antennas on top of our TV. You know, you want to go watch a Cubs game, you got to stand a certain way. When Dad was wanting to watch something on TV, he would go up on the roof of the house, and he would move the antenna, and we had to yell out the window and say, hey, stop right there. That's perfect. That was before satellite and all that, but that's what we did. But I got thinking about this promise that God has given us. God has given you individual promises, and you have not yet seen the fulfillment or seen the full picture yet, but you're trusting in him, and it is something that won't go away. If it hasn't gone away, it's a promise that is yet to be fulfilled in your life, and I believe that. And I got thinking of the ones in this church that have not yet been healed yet, but it has not stopped them from giving God praise. I look at Brother Kellum, he's such an encouragement to me, and I'm thankful for my Brother Kellum and Sister Grimm, and they have not stopped from worshiping God. They have not stopped from coming to the house of God, and they have not stopped from believing that God is able to heal and that God is a healer, and they have not stopped from praying for others to be healed. And I'm so thankful for people like that. You want to be encouraged, be around somebody that is dealing with a physical issue or dealing with some personal issues at home, and nothing's going to stop them from praising God. Nothing's going to stop them from worshiping. They suffered loss. There's some people in their home that aren't there anymore, but they're not going to stop loving God. In Jesus' name, maybe they've been bitten. Maybe you've been spiritually bitten, and maybe you felt the effects of that viper bite from the enemy, but you've shaken that off, and you haven't stopped worshiping God. And that's such an encouragement to see that in the house of the Lord as we come here week after week. See, the Lord doesn't want us to talk about this. I mean, not the Lord, but the enemy does not want us to talk about this. But it is true. We're all living testimonies. We're all lights that shine, and we all gleam off of each other, and we all feed off of each other. I see Brother Al and Sister Christy got a new house in the last year, but you suffered loss 23 years. You've had a house, and you lost it, but you did not stop coming to the house of the Lord. God has restored that. He's given you a wonderful house. The pictures that I see that she puts on Facebook makes me want to go over there and just kind of, I need a little getaway. I need to come over to Christy's house and sit on her deck and just kind of like, okay, I need to escape. Next week, we're going on vacation. Got to travel 1,200 miles to see the Gulf of Mexico. But maybe I should just need to travel 10 minutes over to Lake Holiday to sit on the deck of Sister Christy's house because that looks pretty peaceful over there. But God has restored some things in their life, and that is such an encouragement thing. But before he restored them, they never stopped praising him. They never stopped thanking God. They never stopped coming to the house of the Lord. We're going to deal with enemies. We're going to deal with controversy. We're going to deal with resistance. We're going to deal with conflict. But our promise is going to be fulfilled through that. The two sons of Eli were killed in a battle. When the word came to Eli of the death of his sons and the ark was taken, he fell backwards on a seat and broke his neck and died. The same day his daughter-in-law, the wife of Phinehas, died in childbirth. Before her death, she named her son Ichabod, saying, "The glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of the Lord is taken." But God was doing something. That was a low point in Israel. But God, don't be discouraged in low points. Don't be discouraged in hard times. Don't stop coming to the house of the Lord in hard times. Don't give up during discouragement. Because just past that, the biggest mistakes that we can make in life are emotional. When we react on our emotion and we have a knee-jerk reaction and we're not proactive and we just calm ourselves down and not react on emotions, just the other side of that, there's such a rationale. There's something there that I've come so close to where I was on a job and I started a new job and I had some people make me so mad. I grabbed my stuff and I threw it where I was working like in a high rise on 355 and I threw my stuff in a pile and said, "I'm never coming back here again." I thought that to myself, but I calmed myself down. And I'm glad I did, because within a few days later, I met somebody that used to be raised in the United Pentecostal Church, and he began to talk to me about going to camp when he was at a young age down in Bloomington. And I would have never known that, and I would have never had that conversation if I would have just had that emotional knee-jerk reaction when somebody rubbed me the wrong way or somebody treated me the wrong way. So I just want to be that encouragement for somebody today. Don't react on your feelings. Take a deep breath, calm down, and then, "Lord, help me. Help me not to kill this person. But Lord, help me to get behind these emotions that I'm feeling right now. Help me to be calm." There's a need for God's voice. The voice of the Lord is the original expression of God, is the source of all life. All God had to say was, "Let there be light," and it was. What a powerful thing. When God speaks something into your life, it's going to happen. Sarah laughed at it, but it happened anyways. You may not see the evidence of it, but it's going to happen anyways. I don't know, something about a vision. "In the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." There'll be a certain amount of people. There'll be a generation that is going to dream dreams. And there's going to be another generation that's going to see visions. But I believe it's not a vision of the past, but it's going to be a vision of the future. Because there's going to be such a greater outpouring. Do we have a vision to see every seat full here? Do we have a vision to see people standing against these walls from side to side? Do we have I don't know if there's still an attendance thing on the back wall, but we used to have an attendance record. I think it was 314 or something. There was something like that. It was 314. Do we have a vision to see this particular building exceed the fire code capacity? Do we have a vision to see these windows open for people to bend their ear, to have such a hunger for the Word of God? "Eye hath not seen, nor ear hath heard, nor entered to the heart of man what God has prepared." He's going to give us visions. And you know what? We shouldn't be surprised. We're already different from this world. God's going to give visions. He's given me visions right here in this church. I've seen things that I didn't want to talk to nobody about for such a long time because, I probably think people thought I was crazy, but I wanted to run it by Brother Wells first. But God's going to show you things in the spirit realm. God's going to show you things in dreams. And I believe God has already given you some dreams, but you've pondered on them. You've had them for years, but you never talked about them. It's okay to share those dreams with people in the church. If anybody can share dreams with anybody, it's in this church. Don't feel like you can't. Maybe something will be released by sharing those dreams with somebody else in the church. I'll be honest with you. You're going to share it with somebody out in the world, they ain't going to get it. They ain't going to understand it. But don't be afraid of being laughed at or being scoffed at in the church, because that stuff's going to happen. That is prophetic. That is Bible. We are going to see things in the spirit realm, Brother Kellum. We are going to wake up in the middle of the night and say, "Well, that came from God, because that was mind-blowing." And maybe you've seen something years ago, and it's just as fresh in your mind as it is today. That's a God thing. Don't discard that. I'll be honest with you, he's not going to let you discard it. So, obedience to God's voice brought life, and disobedience brought death. All life, naturally and spiritually, is sustained by his voice. I want to hear him in my prayer closet. I want to hear him in my car. I want to hear him in the house of the Lord. I want to hear him through my pastor. I want to hear him through his people. I want to hear him through the spoken word, through the written word. We need to hear the voice of the Lord when we come into the house of the Lord. We need to hear the preaching. We need to hear through song. We need to allow the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. We need to hear tongues. We need to hear interpretation. We need to hear a word of prophecy. We need to be encouraged every time we're here. We don't need to tense up, but we need to let the Spirit of God be loose in this place. We need God to move. We need God to flow. Don't you worry about what it sounds like, because how it's perceived in somebody's ears may be totally different on how you perceive how it comes out of somebody's ears. I got looking at this this rock up here. It says five smooth stones. If God has given you a word to say to the people, you say it. You don't worry about what it sounds like. If God has given it to you, because it is going to be like a fire shut up in your bones, you're not going to be able to hold it back anyways. You just go ahead and say it, and you let God work on that individual and how it's going to be perceived in their ears. But you have a clear conscience to say, Lord, I want to be that vessel. I want to be a vessel for you to work through. I want you to flow through me. And if you're desperate to hear a word from God, you need to have an open spirit, open mind, and say, God, I just want to hear from you. I am desperate to hear from you. Lord, there is something in my life, Lord. I need more than what is of the ordinary. I need a supernatural word. I need a word from you like I've never needed before. And God may hold back some things in your life. He may hold back some things in his church, and he may do that on purpose to see, are you really want to hear a word from God? Do you really want to see God move in this place? Well, you need to press into it. And sometimes we just need to press into God and let God have his way. And because when we get past that little area in our life, in a monotony, where things are skinned over, and we get past that layer that is skinned over, and we get that breakthrough, there's such a flow that is able to occur in this house. I am desperate to hear the word of God on a regular basis. I am desperate to hear the word of God when I wake up in the morning, whether I listen to an audio or I read it, the word of God. I need the word of God in my life. I need it to sustain me. You know what? If you can live a week without reading the word of God or without hearing the word of God, you're dying. Because if I can go a week without drinking water and I go a week without eating food, I'm in jeopardy of standing at death's door physically and spiritually. I need to constantly hear the word of God in my life. I need to hear the voice of God. I need the written word of God in Jesus' name. Can we take a moment and, Lord, have your way in this place, Lord? Lord, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know how often that you pray in the Spirit, but we need to pray in the Spirit more. There's some things that happen in the spiritual that need to be broken through by intercessory prayer. None of this is in my notes. This is just something that God has laid upon my heart right now to share with you. In Jesus' name. I'm going to wrap things up. There is just a fraction of what I'm able to cover in this. It is important that we always seek and hear the voice of God. It's through his voice life first came into the world and is continually sustained. We need to preserve the voice of God. We need to preserve the word of God in our life. We can't let it go. We can't go days and weeks without hearing the voice of God and hearing the word of God. We need to hear a word from the Lord continually in Jesus' name. I can't hold my breath very long. Maybe a minute, minute and a half, and that's it. I need to constantly, here's the thing that we need to do, and I've taught these kids up in the youth department. When we pray, and I know there's some here that do this, and I'm here to speak to those individuals, but to have a conversation with God, to pray to God isn't always speaking. To have a conversation with God means I need to stop and listen. I need to seek with him with my heart and just let him speak. I need to get at the altar and not say a word. I've said enough. I've said enough today. I've said enough this week. I just need to sit and be quiet. Lord, what do you want to say to me today? Lord, I want to hear what you want to say to your people today. Lord, we're desperate for you today, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. May we have that hunger. Lord, restore to us the desire to hunger and thirst after you in Jesus' name. Lord, you have blessed your people beyond what we can imagine. You have blessed these people in this church beyond what we can imagine. You've protected us from situations beyond what we have seen or can understand. You provided for us in ways that does not comprehend and we do not make sense in our lives in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for stabilizing us and making us a stability in this unstable world. Thank you, Lord, for being that rock that we can stand upon in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to close with this. Samuel was the first of the Hebrew prophets in the kingdom era, but not the first to prophesy. Noah, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Balaam, and many others spoke for the Lord before Samuel stepped in on the scene. From Genesis to Revelation, the Lord chose how and through whom his voice would be heard. As was important for men of God, the men of God who chose his vessels to work through, it's just as important for those vessels he chose to speak to that we respond to that word as well, that we receive the word. God chooses a vessel to speak through, and he chooses vessels to speak to. May that vessel be open and available for his word and what he has said and what he has promised to fill our lives. This is not a time to be walking around with our glass half full, half empty, however you may see it. We need our cups to be full. We need our cups to overflow. I believe there is a godly hunger in this place. I believe it only takes a couple. He said, two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be there. There's way more than two or three in here today. But I believe it only takes one or two with just a hunger for God to set it ablaze. You come to church and somebody's stuck in a rut in life, but you have a hunger for God. God's going to use your hunger, and somebody's going to feed off that hunger. They're going to put all their distractions, all their frustrations aside, and they're going to say, my brother is hungry for God. He's dealing with the same struggles that I deal with. He's dealing with greater struggles than I'm dealing with it. But he put all that aside. I'm going to put my struggles aside, and I'm going to go after God with everything that I got. Because I'm tired of monotony. Does anybody get tired of monotony in their life? Can we stand at this time? I want to respond today by having a willing heart to hear and to obey and to be a vessel for him to work through and to posture myself to be that vessel to speak if he wants me to speak and to be that vessel to hear what he wants me to hear in this place today in Jesus' name.
These altars are open. If you're not going to pray here at the altar and at your seat, I'd ask that you would remain reverent here in the sanctuary. If you need to converse, you can go out in the foyer area or downstairs. But let's make this house a house of prayer. Praying will stabilize us. Giving an offering of praise will stabilize us. Thank you, Brother Kreger, for your words. Why don't you find a place to pray? We can't allow the little ones to come up and just see us milling around. Let them come up and see a people who will pray. Can you do that right now?
I've seen.
Can we thank Him for His faithfulness? God, You've stabilized me. Thank You in the storms of life, God. When I'm dealing with trouble, God, when I'm dealing with situation and circumstance, God, You've always been faithful. Maybe You've, God, moved upon someone to give a word, God, and that word is stabilize me. Maybe a situation had rocked me and I was reeling and I was wondering if I could find sure footing, and then all of a sudden I came to church and a word came forth in a sermon that caused me to find some steady ground. You've stabilized me,
Jesus. Faithful. Love and mercy I see.
Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit.